post-punk and electronic, every Wednesday from 10 until 11 p.m. on CFRC 101.9 FM. Get ready to press record.
And good afternoon. It is 4 o'clock, and thanks for tuning in to CFRC 101.9 FM. We are located here in Lower Carruthers Hall, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario. My name is Bruce. This is Finding a Voice, a spoken word program airing here every Friday afternoon from 4 to 6 o'clock. We do stream live online as well at www.cfrc.ca. And coming up on the show today, in both hours, but in the first hour from the first round of the April 7th and the Journey Continues open mic reading in that monthly series, you will hear at the Elm Cafe, I should say. I just call it the Elm, apparently, because I love it there and I'm so used to it. So anyway, at the Elm Cafe, and in the first round, you will hear readings by Malcolm Cullen, Sarah Emtage, Laylee Jamali, Vicky Langele, John Mahon, Callista Markotich, Leo Roberts, Bruce Cudmore, Ellie Dixon, Jane McDonald, Earl Collier, Michael Flaho, Emily Wright, Meg Freer, Blair Richards Koslag, Joseph Elliott, Liz Huntley Yench, and me. And in the second hour, from the second round in that April 7th and the Journey Continues open mic, you'll hear readings again at the Elm Cafe by Dozy Ubozi, Marinus Sorensen, Malcolm Cullen, Sarah Emtage, Laylee Jamali, Vicky Langele, John Mahon, Callista Markotich, Leo Roberts, Bruce Cudmore, Ellie Dixon, Jane McDonald, Earl Collier, Michael Flaho, Meg Freer, Blair Richards, Koslag, Joseph Elliott, Liz Huntley Yench, Dozy Ubozi again, and me. And just my first mention, I usually do this head at the very beginning of each hour, is that occasionally some poetry, spoken word, or music played on this show may contain strong language. I try to preserve it as much as possible and maintain the creative integrity of both the author or performer and the piece. So, in case you tuned in just a few seconds late or a minute late, I'm going to introduce them one more time. So, coming up in this first hour, again, from the first round of the April 7th and the Journey Continues open mic in that monthly series at the Elm Cafe, you'll hear readings by Malcolm Cullen, Sarah Emtage, Laylee Jamali, Vicky Langele, John Mahon, Callista Markotich, Leo Roberts, Bruce Cudmore, Ellie Dixon, Jane McDonald, Earl Collier, Michael Flaho, Emily Wright, Meg Freer, Blair Richards, Joseph Elliott, and Liz Huntley Yench, and then me. And tell you what, let's go ahead and just jump right in. How's that? And it is Malcolm Nolan. Let's bring him up.
How are we doing, everybody?
I was just going to say, as always, that it's my honor to break the ice for you. So, it's a poem about if anybody suffers from mental illness. Maybe you have seasonal affective. Maybe you got something that sends you in the opposite direction. I myself, bipolar. So when seasonal affective finally lifts and the other one takes off, it's like having superpowers. It's neat. Neat, but not always predictable or fun or necessarily to your best interest. But that's what this poem's about. It's called Werewolf Season. Lunatic, liminal, limbic, lycanthropy. Triggered by my old-fashioned double-barreled olfactory system. Warm wayfish wisps, wafts of warning or welcome wonders. Tugging at the vagus tripwire stretched out to the gut. Carnal and carnivorous cravings crash, a staccato snare roll rumbling. A civil war erupts between my desires as an ovation of fine hairs ripples across my skin. Sensitive to the slightest change in wind, expectation, audacity, and hackles rising with the temperature. My ocean-tide spirit swelling in time with the waxing of the moon. Under her desponding gaze, I shed the cloak of shame. Guiltless in my pursuit of flesh, between teeth or sheets, werewolf season is upon us. Thank you.
So give Malcolm another hand. Let's bring up Sarah.
Happy Poetry Month. Since it is Poetry Month, I've been doing that, trying to write a poem every day. So far, so good. And here's was from Day's 2 poem called Story. I am soup. I am being stirred. I have a story that's still unheard. I am a mirror. I am a moon. I have a story on a silver spoon. I am a candle. I am a breath. I'll tell you the story at the death of death. Thank you.
As we give Sarah another hand, let's bring up Laylee.
Good evening. As you know, I'm from Iran, and we have a deadline at 8 o'clock, and I'm here reading poetry. So I think this was the best thing that I decided to do. So I'm an Aries, and it is my birthday month, so in this series I'm writing about myself and my birthday. So the name of this piece is called Lapsarian Bliss. It should have been Pre-Lapsarian Bliss, but I just cut off the pre bit, so it's Lapsarian Bliss. When I was born on an ordinary day in one of the endless Aprils in the spiral of time, I did not have the faintest clue that I was heading towards a pre-planned destiny, waiting at the other end to cast me into a new role as the ram of the zodiac. I was named Laylee, meaning born at night, which I was. And after Laylee, the romantic female figure in Persian literature symbolizing unattainable love, which I did. But then everyone started calling me the warrior, as prescribed by a constellation, which was God's way of writing my story by stretching me between dots and lines, trying very hard to mold me into the body of stubborn headfirst beast, which I wasn't. To tell the truth, I could never stand those ugly horns sitting on top of that sheepish face, hating even more those hideous hooves that heedlessly tramped the grass and the earth alike, hoisting an empty triumph when making insurmountable rocks look like molten candy drops, and endless valleys like shallow silly puddles to be jumped over under some fizzy rain, reckless and playful, with no fear to fall and to be forever doomed. Unsurprisingly, falling was that one exception turned into a solid rule in the science playbook reading. It is not about never falling. It is always about how to rise. And how heartily I despise the decree, since the moment I learned to think from the heart and not the horn, asking my wounded self again and again, what about just falling and not worrying about how to rise? How about just falling, like that final slow flake in the very last day of a dragging winter, and sitting silently at the tip of a burning tongue, or gliding down like that very first drop of rain that silently seal the arrival of spring, setting the stage for a shower show where pink petals softly fall off the cherry blossoms, dancing their way down like scented bubbles, bursting lightly in empty thin air before even touching the ground. April can be a sweet time if only you could take off your hooves, tuck those horns under your wings, and release yourself off an edge to the other side of the horoscope, towards that vast stillness between blazing stars, thinking no more of names and signs, of worries and warriors, of destinies and destinations, but just of yourself, dark, unattainable, and fallen. Thank you.
As we give Laylee another hand, let's bring up Vicky.
So I'm going to read a piece I wrote when I was 15, because it kind of links up with a piece I'm going to read later on, kind of, that I wrote a few weeks ago. It's kind of spanning decades and decades. Ode to the Pleiades. Oh, this was from my first experience with a non-human entity. Bathe me in your lavender light, gently, gentle, dusty queen, maker of dreams, vessel of peace. Swaddle me in your timeless shroud, wrap me softly in your soundless coat, draw me through your waterless moat, over a groundless desert, as I dissipate into your skyless robe.
Thank you, Vicky. And as we give her another hand, let's bring up John.
There have been a few interesting messages I've shared with family back home, and this is just a small collection of them. Originally, it was just called Messages from Home. That felt too rote, so I instead changed it to Mahin Messages. Most of these are fairly true, with a bit of exaggeration. While shopping, I messaged my sister, Kate. I found heaven in a Shoppers Drug Mart. Rows of golden fleece rabbits arranged in marching line. It is through the mundane I am given a homeward sign. Reply was prompt, the day the same date. Those bunnies should already be in your cart. Your nephew has been ferociously busy this Easter time. Your niece asks when Uncle John will next be over to dine. One morning, I reached out to my sister, Brona. I've been home cooking more as a promise spoken and meant. My arsenal of gadgets and a Japanese knife, acquiring a cast iron Dutch oven, the highlight of my life. I read the response while wreathed in coffee aroma. I completely forgot to mention, but I'm pregnant. News to emphasize our distant stages in life. Picking a favorite niece will now spark argumentative strife. Last weekend, I messaged my gran. Sorry for the silence, I've been distracted by recent schemes. Could fill a phone book with the lovely people met. So many stories and connections I'll struggle to forget. It took time for a response. Her childhood communication was a string attached to a can. Your brother shared pictures of the best months of your life, it seems. This small parish community will be proud, I bet. It's selfish to ask, but has your return been set? I'd replied in a 30-second time span. This land of possibilities still floods my dreams. But I admit to missing Belfast's moody rain and wet. I can't conceive a timeline. All I know is not yet.
Thanks, John. And as we give him another hand, let's up Callista.
This is a poem called Instead. It really started with a desire to write about a dream, which I had never done. And I bought a book by a poet who wrote the whole book. The whole manuscript was about dreams, so I thought I'd try. And it was harder than I thought, because it's hard to remember some dreams. You really have to think about them first thing in the morning. Anyway, it's about a dream. Instead. The innocent day behind us, we sit side by side on a sofa and watch a character exsanguinate, the skin across his jugular as resistant as taut cellophane to the exquisite steel. The dark drench pools under his drop body, and you say human beings are like bags of blood as his world fades to black. His time abruptly up, blood simple. Instead, I think we're like the stricken pupil of the eye, straining to hold the dimming light as darkness seeps across our final scene. Plus, I doubt that blade. No knife of ours does that. Take a tomato. I stab it with the pointy end, so that the blade can cut a decent slice. I wake up in the morning with a dream unspooling. I, inept, arraying trays along a wide windowsill. One dish still sticky in my waking mind, a cake whose frosting peels off with the wrap. The plastic thick with sweet, the bare pastry cratered and crumbly, and the potluck guests are fluid. My sister Jane becomes my daughter Mel, and a dear friend, 30 years gone, is eerily present, not saying where he's been, and I see someone's stricken eyes stare horrified above me, and there it is, a knife, dangling tip down from the valance like a drapery pole. If it dropped, it would cut me. You are vaguely here among the morphing guests, and I yell your name, a hefty roar. I wake myself with a whimper and tell you about the knife. Was it a dagger? Your inquisitive eyebrow is itself a scimitar. A machete? The blade, how long? I say, that's not the point. But if you are a bag of blood, that is the point. A piercing thing hanging over you, you say. You like your dire analogy. The blood-puddled body bleeds on. You say, was it a scythe? Time's scythe? The pupil of my eye is wide to a washed blue sky, a glorious unfurling of minutes and hours. Plus, the toaster pops, simple and uncomplicated, predicting a good gustatory future. I pass the yellow butter. I pass the short, blunt butter spreader. Time. Release the scythe and take instead the long, lithe hand of life. And come for us some faraway dusk when we wait side by side, when steel-bright stars pierce night's ebony, when our eyes are heavy and ready for sleep. No scythe. No point in that.
Woo. Thank you, Callista. As we give Callista another hand, let's bring up Leo.
All right. Hey, hey guys.
Hi, Leo.
All right. Today, I am a thief. Colson Whitehead did a cool ditty. The Colossus of New York, he writes these cool lyrical vignettes about New York. And I thought, Kingston, though? I can... So I made one about our favorite thing, Kingston Transit. Yeah. Tap the card to earn your place here. Dropping coins is a dying art. Pick a seat, any seat. Gauge the age of the stains. Old ones should be safe. Surrender yourself to the ride. Hear the engine rumble, heave as the bus makes wide arcs along the route, often away from your destination, though know you are one of many with somewhere to be. The ads overhead dwindle in number, waging war over people's boredom. Look at all the noses down in phones to see who's winning. A teen spaces out in a priority seat. Accusatory glances go his way when a mother rolls a stroller aboard. The teen gives up the seat, lifts it up. Maybe the kids are all right. A wide-eyed baby takes center stage, making a few days a bit better. Pass by the university, and students pack the bus. For 5 minutes, it's a sardine can on wheels. They're abuzz about exam woes, last weekend's party fouls. The bitter alumnus stews. The chatter hasn't changed since he was in school. He hasn't changed since he was in school. He's been aboard for longer, with several more stops to go. Pull the yellow cord, snap out of the reverie. There remain 10 more minutes of trudging through snow. You curse both your lack of a car and their very invention. Say it with me. If possible, exit through the back door. At some point, we stopped thanking the drivers.
Thank you, Leo. And as we give Leo another hand, let's bring up Bruce.
Hello. This one's brand new, and it's a bit of a riff on Wallace Stevens' 13 Ways of Looking at a Blackbird. I'm going to try to make my way through the trick and scratch. Blackbird in sumac. I landed here among last year's sumac seed pods. A black tongue singing as one of the red flames, still clinging to the bare branches. I hide not in foliage and not in color. I hide in likeness and join the shape of a choir. If there are 13 ways of looking at me, there must be 13 ways of looking at sumac seed pods, and I am one of them. And it is snowing in the sumac limbs.
Thanks, Bruce. And as we give Bruce another hand, let's bring up Allie.
Hi, everyone. I haven't read here for a very long time, so I'm a little nervous. This poem... this poem, just some context, is inspired by the story of Ellen Sadler, who was a little girl in like the 19th century, who fell asleep for 9 years and woke up and had no recollection of what happened. It's kind of like a medical anomaly. Anyways, the sleeping girl of Turville. Little girl, pallor, pale, paler still as dust and ashy rose. Too innocent and oh so still, still as death inscribed in prose. Breathing in and out, breath rise and fall. Sleep, sleeping now, falling deeper still. Dreaming in and out, dreaming now forever. Against one's soul, against one's will. If you sleep forever, will you forever dream? Or is it dark, all cold and mute? When you awake, remember the summer land you've seen, with its mossy knolls and its twisted roots. 10 years together, the spheres of soul combine, life and death traversed between. The spirit world to tether your soul with cord and twine, to remain forever tied unto a fairy dream. Thank you. Woo.
Thank you, Allie. And as we give Allie another hand, let's bring up Jane McDonald.
Hello. Boy, another dream poem. This has dream in it as well. It's called I Think We Can Have Our Angels. The kidney on the left and the one on the right, they spoke myself all night. And after, in the days that were a cave, a clotting, a robing, blood mumble. Should I wait for that? I'm going to wait.
I don't think it's
my fault this time.
No worries. It's not fault. We all have a phone.
I can't turn mine off because then it freezes. And I got to get a
cat. You got to keep it on.
I'm sorry, Jane.
No worries.
It takes forever.
No worries, my friend.
I'm getting a new one Friday. We'll have it off.
We all have phones, and it all happens to all of us. Okay, I'm going to start again. I think we can have our angels. The kidney on the left and the one on the right, they spoke myself all night. And after, in the days that were a cave, a clotting, a robing, blood mumble, I wish to myself remember. Voluminous the snow at night, sifted in the street lamp, quartered and drawn by winds that kept coming, I hid, dreaming, in the back of the car with the baby, and the tapping by the pine with its shadow on the glass was the clandestine agent sounding the lid of the station wagon. You were asleep next door, upstairs in a fever, with your angels. They visit you on your roof. But these roofs are unreliable, piled in snow. I heard the avalanche. Disaster rained onto the alleys. The child dragged by her hair down the road by her father, she haunts me. I am exempt. I am inexperienced. My frailty crumbles in my upturned hands and my knees are powdered in its dust. I think we can have our angels, you said, and you've seen enough. What doors did you close? What rooms sworn never again to enter, which means no one can go in there with you? Though the wind congeals, the juncos and the finches who puff out their feathers in the sun, we have not the reach to pull down the shining. Our face occludes but cannot outstrip the sun. What prayers, what intentions, what will conceived will we carry? We are many, molded in our separate beds, shrouded under shadows, milk white and bladed while the wind conspires to slay us. Oh, we cry, save me, but we are many, begging. And is this not proof, as a baby cries for her milk, expects the answer, that there once was a mother? Who was not ever a baby? Not for the earning are these honeyed summers. Blessed is the child. Blessed are the meek, you told me. Blessed are the unsuspecting, the generous, the ones who say yes and they mean it. Bless them now, give them bread. I exert with my voice, O Lord, the Lord of all the gods, the Lord of light, the sun and this wind, this killing. Woo.
Thank you, Jane. And as we give Jane another hand, let's bring up Earl Collier.
Happy Poetry Month, everyone. This poem is about friendship. In fact, it's about the first friend I ever had. And it's a little heavy, so on a lighter note, I think there's some references in this poem that I have to clarify because I realize that it's a bit aged and dated. For the Gen Z people out there, before we had smartphones, we used to carry around these cameras and you take a picture, and immediately a cheap photo would pop out. It's called Polaroid. Another arcane technology in his poem is a police scanner. It's basically a radio, and it would scan through the VHF radio spectrum and stop whenever the police were communicating or EMS or whatever, and nosy people like my parents used to buy them for entertainment. This poem is called The Alchemist's Tear. I first heard you whistling a familiar tune, shuffling by my house, staring at your shoes, Superman sneakers that look super fast with lightning blue, cool Velcro straps. We played jungle warfare in the Japanese knotwood brush and cut our palms on broken glass before the hollowed sun to mingle our blood in a sacred pact of brotherhood trust with sworn oaths among the thorns and mud. We made war paint from bicycle rust, became lucid warriors, lording over flies of strife, and we darted like arrows into flight of plight by broken drums, boys into manhood, awkward braves without any direction. And our bond lasted decades through aimless ordeals of long tempest nights with cheap wine and cigarettes, torn innocence, fractured hope and redemption, wandering by broken bearings until our war paths parted ways on the trail. And we lost touch. One night I had a dream. I was lost in a pitch dark forest. I heard you whisper my name through mossy mist and thick coniferous moonbeams. And out of the corner of my eye, there was a flickering flame of lichen green. I followed it like a guiding star. And when I arrived, you were there beside the emerald fire, your radiant smile dancing ablaze. And out of a shadow came a bearded hermit. He lit a torch from the fire and burned away your face like a cigarette on a Polaroid. The scar on my palm itched. Then I awoke to thunder and I heard your address come over the police scanner. And I knew it was you. I felt a tear on my cheek and I knew that you were gone, crying for the knotwood brush and mingled blood the needle drew as you nodded off forever.
Thank you, Earl. And as we give Earl another hand, let's bring up Michael Flaho.
Getting harder to stand up.
Okay.
Hi. Bit of context. In 1984, I was a student at Kuwait University. And this refers to Boubian Island. Boubian Island is situated right where Iraq, Iran and Kuwait meet. And the poem's called A Minor Event. Can you hear?
Yes, you're good.
We drove north because the day was empty. Five students in a small car. The road running beside the Euphrates River through hot sun and pale sand and light wind. A German, a Hungarian, a man from Bahrain, one from Yemen, and me, a Canadian, gathered for no reason except boredom and a free afternoon. The bridge to Boubian Island stood above us then, concrete casting a welcome shade. We sat beneath it, passing time, the river moving with quiet purpose, as it had well before Sumerian, Babylonian, and Assyrian times. A gunboat in the distance. The jeep arrived without urgency. It was like magic. Instinctive fear gave me tunnel vision. Two soldiers stepped out, lined us up along the embankment as if arranging a photograph. Questions moved between languages. Where from? Why here? Papers. One soldier murmuring into the radio to the decision maker. During those minutes, I noticed something simple, that my life no longer belonged to me. I could not lift an arm or take a step. I could not speak unless asked. Our cameras in the car, Iraqi border nearby, and small facts that could become years. Perhaps prison, perhaps nothing. Perhaps buried in the desert, there was no way to know. The certain future of minutes ago was now abruptly replaced from university and relationships, family, the promise of life, to merely breathing, like an exercise in meditation. To breathing. Everything else had passed quietly into the soldier's hands. We answered questions clearly. The breeze kept coming off the water. A bird moved across the open sky, a black dot, the whole sky. At last, they nodded towards the road. Back to Kuwait City, they said. Shoo, quote unquote. We drove south, the same road, the same sun, five students returning from somewhere that had, for a moment, become uncertain. There you go.
Thank you, Michael. As we give Michael another hand, let's bring up Emily Wright.
Hello, I'm Emily. This is a poem that I wrote recently for my friend for her birthday, and it's called Gold. Sometimes I think about the time we've been given. I think about the dark years we've been living through. But for a day here, a day there, an hour on the phone, gold and forgiving. 6 months in our early 20s where we live together, our time always ensnared by brevity but instilled with longing. Oh, to watch another movie and share our secrets and find belonging. Once you played your favorite song in the kitchen that I recognized from a movie, and it has followed me along in my life since then, a favorite for me because it reminds me of you and how we have learned to love deep in shallow time and thread gold so elegantly through a murky past. And I'm holding out hope that as we climb to the crest of the future, we will listen to the sun bells chime and watch as our love and light spills in slow motion. I can't wait until those days, and I know they're on their way. Already there's gold in the hills.
Thank you, Emily. And as we give Emily another hand, let's take Freer. No.
Thanks, Bruce. I have my monthly plug for Quirks of Human Nature, which Leanne mentioned. Bruce is going to be one of the bonus poets. It's April 28th. Ann Archer is the poet. We've got a great duo of Chris Coleman and Ellen Hamilton, who are top musicians in Kingston. They're joining. Tuesday, April 28th at Time Out Bar and Bistro. I'll put the poster up over there, or someone will. Hope you can come. My mother died 2 weeks ago. She was 88, and I wrote something about that, but I decided not to read that. Instead, I'm reading something else about my mother from when I was a small child. This is called Motorbike Fear, and maybe other people have crazy uncles. This is my crazy uncle. Actually, he was a great uncle, but in the poem, he's uncle. Motorbike fear, a bad influence on us, our mother thought. Hard drinking, cigar smoking, motorcycle riding Uncle Francis with that wild look in his eyes. And she was adamant he could not take us girls for a ride on his bike. Oh, how we were terrified at the thought of whizzing up and down the hilly streets of the Dalles and along the Columbia Gorge, where we might tumble off into the raging river like the suitcases sliced off the roof of our car one summer by the serrated muscle of wind that blows down the gorge. The rocky shore flowered with our mother's silky underwear and the river strewn with shirts and socks. And if our mother cried about broken suitcases, how much more she would grieve for our broken bodies if we fell off that bike.
Thank you, Meg. And as we give Meg another hand, let's bring up Blair Richards.
Coastleg.
It's hard to know which one to read. This one is actually a song, but I don't think I'm going to sing it. It goes, oak and beech are the monarch of the forest. How can something so small lift the bark of a queen? She is fallen where she stands. She is fallen where she stands. He can't lift his oaken arms. He can't reach his taproot high and deep enough to find the lost balance between the earth and the sky and the invisible winds of time. I believe in the forest. I believe in the forest, her long pale gray gown, her smooth papery buds, the ancient mysteries in her pyramid seeds. Take me, O king of the branching, through your door into birdsong, where I can understand the mossy realms. Where do they ever come from? Spores in the wind, leaving their diamond-shaped fingerprints, leaning like the lichen into clean air. Someone lifted the ancient stones from their altar of breath. I kneel now with her fallen leaves all around me. I believe in the forest. I believe in the forest, in the ancient spiraling of day and night, and slow time that bring the trees their leaves.
Thank you, Blair. And as we get Blair another up, Joseph.
Hello. I'm thankful for this weather today because it's a good excuse to read my last winter haiku of the year. So I thought I maybe missed the boat on these ones. I'm reading a pair of them today. They weren't written as a pair, but I think they go nicely together. And I'm also reading the pair because one of them I read at Grains and Goods, and I don't want to be too repetitive. So if you were there, sorry, you've heard one of these before. So here's two. And for people who don't know, haiku are generally read twice. I feel silly doing it, but I do it anyway. So, winter shore. Her and I notice different things. Winter shore. Her and I notice different things. Wandering mood. Just enough ice to fall through. Wandering mood. Just enough ice to fall through. Thank you.
Thank you, Joseph. And as we give him another hand, let's bring up Liz Huntley. Jen.
Great. So I also have a plug for our next event. For those of you willing and able to make your way up to the West End, our next common language poetry reading will be happening on May 2nd from 7 to 9. good lineup of poets again. We have Sarah Tsiang, Y.S. Lee, and Sadiqa Demire, who's the current poet laureate for Kingston. So that should be a fun event. I will leave some posters here if you want to grab one to take with you. And also, some of you know I have this little chapbook that I just recently printed up, and I'm going to read one of the poems from here. Tonight, I'm sorry if you've heard it before. After, in the second half, I'll read one which you perhaps have not heard before. And so this is a mother's pocket dictionary of accuracies and inventions. And each of the poems is like a dictionary entry. I have one for each letter of the alphabet. And they are all about motherhood, because that's the only thing that I write about, for better or worse. So I'm going to read the entry for M, mother. Verb, 1, the act of parenting well female. 2, scrabble the letters, her, she, them, other. 3, remix mothers for A, the rage in hot, storm, smote, smother. B, the domestic in hem, shoe, thermos. C, the nurture of hoe, rose, store. D, the welcome of home, host, shore. 3. Oh, to take what we love inside, to carry within us an orchard. 4a. A thick substance concreting in liquors, the lees or scum concreted, Johnson, 1530s, probably from the Middle Dutch moda, filth, dregs, from the Proto-Indo-European mu, see, mud. B. This has something to do with the slimy glob at the bottom of the kombucha jar. And also, C, the dirt into which Athena, Loki, Parvati, Yahweh breathed life. 5, the Latin root matre is the basis for matron, maternal, matrix, matriculate, and matrescence, the complex adjustment reaction to becoming a mother, the most twisted roller coaster you've been on since puberty. 6, see also Mother Hubbard, Mother Goose, Mother May I, Mother Carries Chickens, a sailor's term for storm petrels, small seabirds believed to be the spirits of the drowned, Mother Country, Mother Tongue, Mutterkuchen, German Mother Cake, meaning placenta, Mother of Invention, Mother of Odd Socks, Mother of Loose Screws. 7, mother is the root of mutter and mumble. Mother is the prefix of motherfucker and also mothball. Mother is the left leg of monster. Mother is the eyeball of madness. Mother is mouth, a pelvic yawn. Mother is the beginning of mountain and the end of here. Mother is everywhere unseen. 8a, in modern slang, mothering can be used to mean absolutely slaying or excelling at something. B, which goes to show young people have no idea what the experience of mothering is actually like. C, somebody really should warn them.
Thanks, Liz. And as we give Liz another hand, we've heard some incredible poetry here tonight. We're going to hear some more in the second round. But I'll share a short poem. If you came in late, you will go up first right after the break, and then there should be time at the end. Then you get to read again at the end, so it all evens out. But once we get past 8:15, I kind of like it. Kind of feels like there needs to be a break. So anyway, give yourselves and everybody else another hand. And also, while Logan and Juno are still here, let's give them a hand for offering this space. This is called Beyond. 700 years and 4 days ago, I was here. This place looking much different then. The days were longer, the nights clearer. A color smoother. The air was fuller. You could sense life, all life, even before and beyond in each breath. It held an ever scent of raw honey and wore the slightest color as if translucent ivory. The air then connected all things. The air today here in its thinness invisible fully separates. And it is only now in the densest of fog, when we can see nothing around us, in front of, or behind, of those long ago times, our aloneness reminds. Thank you very much. Thank you all again for a wonderful first round, and I need to catch up. Is that Dozy back there and Marinus? I'll catch up with both of you guys. And you just heard from the first round of the April 7th and the Journey Continues open mic reading in that series at the Yom Cafe. Readings in the first round by Malcolm Cullen, Sarah Emtage, Leili Jamali, Vicky Langele, John Mahan, Calista Markotich, Leo Roberts, Bruce Cudmore, Ellie Dixon, Jane McDonald, Earl Collier, Michael Flaho, Emily Wright, Meg Freer, Blair Richards, Joseph Elliott, Liz Huntley Yench, and then me. And it is 51 minutes and a bit after 4 o'clock. And you are listening to Finding a Voice on CFRC. Let's do this, and I'll be right back. How's that? Nice.
Folk Everything is your passport to the finest in folk music. Old, new, and everything in between. The wonderful, the wild, and the weird.
Walk quietly by, he won't bother you. He's a busy man. He's got things to do.
It's all here Saturdays from 10 a.m. until 1 p.m. Folk Everything with Hugh on CFRC 101.9 FM in Kingston.
Friday evenings at 6 p.m. here on CFRC, listen to Saltwater Music, a show covering all musical genres from the East Coast of Canada. Celtic, of course, but also rock, jazz, blues, folk, and a lot more. I'm your host, Rob Carnell. Tune in to Saltwater Music Friday evening from 6 to 8 here on CFRC 101.9 FM. Or you can catch us on the web at www.cfrc.ca. And for our listeners out east, that's 7 p.m. Atlantic and 7:30 Newfoundland.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if you could borrow a musical instrument free of charge, just like you can borrow books from your local library? We think so too. That's why the Joe Chitlin Memorial Musical Instrument Lending Library, also known as Joe's Mill, has been lending guitars, keyboards, saxophones, and many other instruments to the Kingston community free of charge for almost 20 years. We are a registered charity, relying solely on the generosity of our community to donate their time, money, and instruments to keep this amazing service alive. Find us at www.joesmill.org or Joe's Mill on Facebook for more information on borrowing instruments or contributing to Joe's Mill.
And you are and have been listening to Finding a Voice here on CFRC 101.9 FM. We're located in Lower Carruthers Hall, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario. Also streaming live online, www.cfrc.ca. It is, quickly approaching 54 minutes after 4 o'clock at this point. And just a quick reminder, something I do at the end of each hour or segment is to give you a heads up that every week, both hours of this, every week I do upload both hours of this show to my personal blog space for it at Finding a Voice on cfrcfm.wordpress.com. I do that most often, just as soon as I get home, which is usually somewhere around 7 o'clock. Those will remain there on that site, in that blog space, for at least 3 years. Before we do move on and to the second hour, first thing I want to do is thank each of you very much for having tuned into the show today. I hope you're enjoying it. And I would also like to thank all of those who participated in that event that evening. And to our barista, Grace, who took great care of us there. And, of course, as always, to the Elm Cafe for always being such a caring and supportive host. And I've just got now about a little bit less than 5 minutes, but I want to share just a few things that are going on in Kingston. This is definitely art festival season. Skeleton Park Arts Festival is starting today. Check out their website, skeletonparkartfest.ca. They have the full schedule on there. There are a lot of things happening tonight, and then it just keeps going on through all day tomorrow and Sunday as well, both on-site in McBurney Park or Skeleton Park. And you can get the full schedule at their website. And again, that is skeletonparkartfest.ca. And then coming up at Novel Idea Bookstore, 156 Princess Street on Wednesday. Is it Wednesday or is it Tuesday? June the 24th, whenever that is, June the 24th. It is Wednesday. You'll hear two poet laureates, Kingston's, and you're familiar with that name, Sadiqa D. Meyer, and we'll be in discussion with Ellie Krall G. Gardner, who is the Vancouver poet laureate, who was actually appeared on this show, 12 or 13 years ago. I do not remember. Anyway, they're going to be discussing their new works, Sadiqa's Quaffs People and Ali's Sometimes Forest. Check out Novel Idea Bookstore's site on Facebook as well, and you'll get a bit more detail, too. Then coming up next weekend, starting on Friday, Poets at Art Fest 2026. It's all part of Art Fest Kingston 2026. This will be, Art Fest Kingston's maybe 15th year or 16th year even. We started a bit later, but this will be our 12th year at that festival. There will be over 60 featured poets over the course of 3 days. That festival will run Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, June 26th through the 28th. It's going to be at City Park in Kingston. Friday it runs a bit longer from 9 a.m. until, or at least the Poet Festival runs from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. Then on Saturday, June 27th, from 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. There's also an intuitive writing workshop early Friday morning as well. So it's free. And if anyone's interested in that, before the day it begins and to lead into the readings, it's kind of a traditional thing I've done every year. Also that weekend, Driftline is launching shape-based a book. These are books of shape-based, let me just read it, shape-based poems launch, and it says, I'm just going to read from their site, come join us at Musiki Cafe for our shape poems launch. We have three terrific poets sharing their shape, broadsheets, and other work. Christine McLeod, Lisa Borkovich, and Ellen Chang Richardson. There is also, check out Wanda Pramsma and Everloving Press are the hosts. You can check out a Facebook, I think it's a poster for the event on Wanda Pramsma's Facebook site. If you just probably search in Facebook the words shape-based poems launch, it will pull something right up for you. Again, that's happening at Musiki Cafe Saturday, June 27th from 4 to 6 p.m. Musiki Cafe is located at 73 Brock Street. And that's going to take us into next weekend. So kind of covered the things, a number of things that are going on this coming week. I will be a pre-record here next week because